Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for September 21st, 2012.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Across metamorphosis, anything to do with activity and exploration were highly positively correlated.
These animals are actually biting into the tumors of less aggressive animals and therefore acquiring the disease by biting into these tumors.
We expected that given the tiger's elusive and shy nature, that they would avoid people.
This week, Nepalese tigers coexist with people. Aggression is giving Tasmanian devils cancer, and a new monkey species has been discovered in Africa. But first, Suzanne Bard reports that tadpoles keep their personalities when they become frogs.
A frog by any other name is still a frog, according to new research. Tadpoles live exclusively in water, but once they become frogs, they spend more time on land.
They go through this amazing process of behavioral, morphological, physiological transformation, and then basically they end up as a completely different animal, being a frog, and that they're carnivorous. Their life history strategy is geared towards reproduction and dispersal, and they're semi-terrestrial. So they're under completely different selection pressures.
So you might expect that their personalities would adapt to their new body and habitat. Not necessarily, says behavioral ecologist Alexander Wilson of the Leibniz Institute of Freshwater Ecology and Inland Fisheries in Berlin. He tested 75 wild tadpoles for personality traits such as activity level, boldness, and response to predators. Much to his surprise, these traits didn't change much when they matured into frogs.
Across metamorphosis, anything to do with activity and exploration were highly positively correlated between the larval stage and the frog stage, which means at some level there's some underlying mechanism, whether it be physiological or genetic or whatnot, that allows these behaviors to persist in spite of these dramatic transformations.
He says the only behavior that was inconsistent between the tadpole and frog stage was the animal's response to a simulated predator. He adds that more than 80% of all animals are known to undergo some sort of dramatic transformation during their lifetime. Future research will look into whether members of other species maintain their personality traits even when their bodies change.
Thanks, Suzanne. In pop culture, the Tasmanian devil is best known as a belligerent, voracious cartoon character. And if you don't know what we mean, perhaps this will jog your memory. Well, it turns out real-life Tasmanian devils aren't all that different. Science reporter Justin Warner tells us why the most vicious members of the species are paying the ultimate price for their aggression.
From rabid dogs to malarial mosquitoes, many biting animals spread disease. But in the case of Tasmanian devils, it's the biters who usually get infected. According to University of Tasmania zoologist Rodrigo Hamede, these small aggressive marsupials are endangered by a rare kind of infectious cancer. It was correctly assumed to be transmitted by biting.
The same cell line that infected an animal in 1996 has been spread by the host Tasmanian devil biting other devils.
When Hameda's team trapped and examined wild devils, they expected to find tumors mostly on external bite wounds.
But most of the tumors occurred inside the oral cavity, inside devil's mouth, which suggests that actually the biter is the wound being infected.
In fact, the fewer bite wounds a devil had, the more likely it was to be infected, suggesting that the most aggressive, dominant animals are the most susceptible.
These animals are actually biting into the tumors of less aggressive animals, and therefore acquiring the disease by biting into these tumors.
It's like a vampire or zombie story in reverse, where the victims alter the biters instead of the other way around. Hamede says this insight may help conservationists save the species from the disease. He notes that normally, natural selection would simply weed out the most aggressive devils over time. But because the cancer is extremely virulent and 100% lethal, humans may need to intervene to prevent the whole species from disappearing.
Thanks, Justin. Tigers are highly endangered, with less than 4,000 remaining in the wild. But in Nepal's Chitwan National Park, in the foothills of the Himalayas, they appear to be adapting to the presence of humans. This according to Michigan State University conservation scientist Neil Carter. He and his colleagues set up motion-activated camera traps in the park, which snapped photos of the big cats as they wandered by.
And we expected that given the tiger's elusive and shy nature, that they would avoid people.
But instead, his team found that the tigers used the same trails and roads as locals, tourists, the Nepalese army, and even motorized vehicles. But the animals shifted their hunting schedule to nighttime, when humans were asleep.
The surprising result was that they were shifting their activity in time. They were becoming slightly more active at night, becoming less active during the day.
Carter adds that the tiger population appears to be stable and possibly even increasing in the area. He says this may be due in part to good management. The government cracks down on illegal tiger poaching, and park managers ensure there's always plenty of prey available for the tigers to hunt. He says under similar management conditions, it might be possible for endangered tiger populations in other regions of Asia to increase in size, even in the presence of humans. In our final story this week, Suzanne says a new monkey species has been identified in Africa.
The monkey is called the Lesula, and it was first discovered in 2007 in the Congo. But after DNA testing, it's just received full species status. It has brownish-black fur, large orange eyes, a long nose, and weighs between 10 and 20 pounds. Unfortunately, the species may be vulnerable to extinction due to its small range and bushmeat hunting by locals.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll tell you about a solar cell that runs off of spinach and about new developments in wind power. But if you can't wait that long, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. That's 1-800-949-4748. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.